Amen and amen. I think that's all we have this today. Amen. We'll have in a few weeks, we'll be having another missionary here that's going to be amazing from, I want to say Bangladesh, but he's not in Bangladesh. Bangkok, Thailand. You don't want to miss it. That's going to be powerful. It's not when Dana and Bridget come here. I'm expecting them not just to come here and just tell stories. They will. They got powerful stories on the mission field, but an impartation to this body is what I expect. Just because of the anointing that they carry, they've been pastors of quite a few churches. They've taken churches that were really struggling, built up the leadership, and then they would move on. So, really, I'm really excited about having Dana and Bridget here. And so, amen. This is Palm Sunday. Amen. Where Jesus came, like Pam was saying, Jesus coming riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, not realizing a week later he would actually come, it would actually fulfill why he came to the earth, right? But to give of his life for you and I. And so today, the sermon today on this Palm Sunday is called The Gospel Is Enough. The Gospel Is Enough. And so as I was preparing for this, I just felt the Lord saying, hey, just teach on the gospel and understand. I'm telling you, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll talk a little bit about it, without even realizing it, we'll get into our lives and busyness and work, right, and children. All these things are important, right? And then sometimes we can get a little bit off track, not realizing the power of the gospel. Because we know the world is opposed to the gospel, because we know who the god of this world is, Satan. So obviously he's opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, as we begin to speak about this, that the gospel is enough. Amen. If it's enough on the mission field to heal the sick, raise the dead, deliver people from demonic powers, why does it seem like it's not enough in the United States? Sometimes, you know what I'm trying to say? Amen. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. You know, the word the gospel is used 98 times in the New Testament. The gospel. The gospel. And I want to, on this Palm Sunday, talk a little bit about the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3 will be my first text. This is Paul. He says, for I handed down to you, 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I handed down to you as of first importance. Say first. I just want you to say first so I know that you're awake. If your person next to you is asleep, just give them a little jab and say first. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received. This is the Apostle Paul. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. Died for our sins. So what's the first important thing of knowing the gospel? He died for yours and my sins. We've talked about it through the weeks that thanks to Adam and Eve, sin came into the world, and since then, sin has dominated mankind. They just can't help it. They're born that way. I've said it before. Unfortunately, every human being is born behind the eight ball. And a man will spend his lifetime trying to prove his worth of what he accomplishes and how good he is in himself. That I'm a good person. But how much you know that when Paul's talking about the gospel, they talk about the gospel first, that died for our sins. Every individual sin that's ever born in this world, every person, he died for their sins. So that is the first importance. Amen. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. Man, aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? That he was buried. Amen. So he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day, hallelujah, according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Did you know the Scriptures, the Old Testament, is what tells us that he would rise again. The Old Testament says that Emmanuel, God with us, we'd be born of a virgin. So it's even in the Old Testament. Everything that we are living in the New Testament is just a revelation that was hidden in the Old Testament until Jesus actually rose from the grave. So first of importance, as Jesus died for your sins and my sins. Oh man, he was buried. The devil said, man, I got him. Then he said he went to the bowels of the earth, to hell, and took what? Took the keys of death and hell from Satan. Amen. Because what did Jesus say before he died to Peter? Says, I am Jesus. I am the rock. He says, the gospel is going to be about that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. So Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is of most importance to the gospel. And then Paul goes on, I don't have it here, but he goes on after these scriptures and says this. Paul, talking about himself, he says, for I am the least of the apostles. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. Why did he say that? And he said, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle. He says, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. What I love about the Gospels, regardless of your past, God, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, his grace through his blood, amen, changed the Apostle Paul, made him a Christian murderer, who he opposed and hate Christians, actually becoming the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, I didn't deserve it. He says, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't even entered my mind, but yet because of the power of the gospel, Jesus saved me by his grace and is using me for his glory. That's what I love about the gospel, that regardless of your past, amen, he's the one that can change your future. He can take the things of the past, wash them away by his blood, give you a new life, and this is all because of the gospel. All because of the gospel. Let me say this again. The gospel is enough. Amen. Lord, may we know in America once again that the gospel is enough. Amen. So it's the death, burial, and the resurrection. Let me say a few. Let me see how far I can get this morning. So let me continue to talk about the gospel. The gospel is revealed to, here we go, some points. So revealed to the simple, the humble. Now, I didn't say the simpleton. Well, make sure you know that. But to the simple. It's the gospel simple. Amen? The power of God is simple. The harder we make the gospel, I think the further the way we get from its truths. The simplicity of the gospel. It's for the humble. Because it doesn't require a doctor to understand it. Matter of fact, Jesus said, don't suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Amen. Matthew 11:25. The gospel. At this time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father. He's talking to his Father while he's walking on the earth. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Those that realize, man, I desperately need something in my life. I've tried everything in my life to make it add up. Lord, I've tried to make 2 and 2 equal 4, but in my life, when I'm trying to put all my ducks in a row and I'm trying to put everything together and things don't seem to add up, everything in my life seems to be 2 plus 2 equals 5. But I guess I had to digress a little bit. I guess in modern day math, I heard something, a clip or someone said, hey, if somebody wants to say that 2 plus 2 equals 5, that's okay. But that's a different subject. I'm sorry. I couldn't help but go there for a second. But I believe that today, well, that math, as far as truths and everything, 2 plus 2 still equals 4. Let me tell you, if you're here today and your life doesn't add up, that you've been searching for an answer. You've been searching for something where you just don't feel satisfied. I don't care what you have accomplished. I don't care how high on the pinnacle of success you may be. If something doesn't add up and you find yourself still wanting, may I say to you this morning, what you need is to hear me as I present the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, how he loves you and I. Amen. How he loves us, the gospel. And I love what he continues talking about, the simple. It's not hard. It's childlike faith, believing what God accomplished for you and I. Matthew 11:25. And then Jesus goes on when he's talking about the simple things of the gospel. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. This is Jesus, God in the flesh, God in the flesh saying this. Somebody say this again. Listen with your ears. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. See, yoke in the Greek means to a coupling around a neck, like an ox neck. You know, the ox, its neck and its back, this thing that would go around it. And then, you know, that would be tied up to, it could be tied up to a wagon. It could be tied up to a plow, an old-time plow. And then whatever that person that's got a hold of that plow and that yoke around the neck, it can make it turn around. It can make it go wherever it wants. And so what the Lord is saying here is, hey, man, the world has a yoke around people's neck, amen? And many people are into bondage. All people are in bondage to self and their own ability and their own strength. And he's saying, hey, take that yoke, switch it out, repent. Say, Lord Jesus, I turn my life over to you. What the Lord Jesus does, he takes that yoke of the world. He wants to remove that and put his yoke on you. He says, my yoke is easy. It leads to life. My yoke leads to peace. It leads to my grace working in your life. It leads to victory over the power of bondages and sin over a person's life. That's what the gospel does. Amen. It sets the captive free. But if somebody likes the yoke that they're under, amen, they like leading their own life and saying, I'll determine what's right or wrong. I'll determine what's righteous and unrighteous. The gospel isn't for that person, unfortunately. It's for the person by they come to understand this understanding of God's love for you, that, man, what has been wrong with my whole life is I've been under a yoke and a burden that I cannot carry. And the Lord Jesus is saying, I'll switch that out. I'll take that yoke. I'll take it off of you. I'll put my yoke is easy. I love what she says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I love what Jesus says. He said, hey, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Oh, man, the things that he wants to show us and teach us about himself, his kindness. Here, you want to know the Lord Jesus' character? This character here is this. He says, hey, that I am gentle and lowly. Hey, is he gentle and lowly? You know, he's the creator of heaven and earth. Here's the thing about lowly means he's willing to come down onto our plane, amen, to reveal himself to you and I of his mercy and his grace and his love, amen? And I've said this before, he comes down in our plane, reveals his goodness to us, the gospel to us, and then he lifts us up to him. Jesus says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But I love that he reveals his thoughts to us. He reveals his goodness to us. He reveals his anointing and his power and his strength to us. Let me say, if you feel like you're under a yoke today, even if I've come to realize, even if I know the Lord, if he's my Savior, but I feel like I'm under a burden or a yoke on me, there's something in my life where I haven't come to realize that he carried that for me on the cross for him, that he took every sin, every bondage, every chain, every fear, every worry, he carried that on his body as he hung on the cross for me. And so to learn to say, Lord, I'm giving that to you. I'm not going to carry that yoke, a yoke of worry. I had a very godly grandmother, and she passed away when she was 95. But when she got older, she felt like it was her job to worry. And so she called me with something and said, hey, you got to do this. And I could tell it would worry her. And so I'd come over and do whatever it was, you know. She was a very particular lady. And so I'd do that, and I'd say, okay, Grandma, it got to be a joke. I'd say, you're going to have to find something new to worry about. I know it's your job to worry, Grandma, but this is taken care of. I changed the air filters. Those are changed in the house. You're going to have to find something new. You know what? You and I, as believers in Christ, man, we don't want to have a mentality of like, I've got to worry about something. Did you know he wants to take care of us? As I've grown in him, I've always had this yoke, I've got to take care of myself, and we do have to work hard. Work hard, work is okay, amen? What does Paul say? If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But there's a difference between working in that and carrying a yoke of worry. Is it going to be enough? Lord, am I going to make it? Lord, am I going to make it in the coming months or weeks or year? Or Lord, I'm hearing on the news that there's something happening in the economy. There's a recession coming. There's a depression coming. And even if all those things are true, I'm learning to say, Lord, I'm not going to carry a yoke of worry. I'm going to allow you. I'm going to cast my cares upon you because the Word of God says that you care for me. Childlike faith. Did you know he wants to take care of us? You know, his anointing there, you don't have to carry that. Sometimes, I don't know what it is, certain things we feel like we need to carry. Sometimes we feel like we need to carry something from the past, a struggle or something that happened in our life. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves. Paul was saying, hey, he knew what that was about. He says, I'm the least of the apostles because of the things that I've done. Let me tell you this right now, that when you come to Christ, the gospel cleanses you from the past. You don't have to carry that. You can cast off that yoke and take on his yoke of forgiveness. Amen? Making you white as snow and making those things as if they did not happen, and you can move forward. Did you know that regardless of the past, you can move forward in Christ Jesus? Amen. You don't have to be identified for the things of the past. You become identified of what God is doing in your present and what he's going to be doing in your future. You know what? That's good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's shouting material right there. Glory to God, how we love you. We praise you, Lord. Man, take a second and thank him and say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Many times I'll wake up or during worship, I'll have little snippets of, man, thank you for where you brought me, Lord. I can trust you with the future. This is all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I say it again? I'll say it a few more times. The gospel is enough. The gospel is enough. Somehow in society, the world will try to convince us, no, it's not enough. It's not enough. You've got to mix some of man's wisdom in there to make it enough. No, the power of God is enough to change a life. As a matter of fact, there's nothing really that can change a life. A new heart, a new spirit, renewing your mind. There's nothing that can do that but the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, I love that. You know, this an ox, a yoke or a clumping around an ox's neck and shoulders. It also means like a beam of balance or a pair of balances. You know what I'm talking about? Balance where you can, where one end you could put an ounce of gold, and then on the other end you could put an ounce of gold to get the balances weighed. Amen. What the gospel does is it breaks off those balances where we're trying to outweigh the good from the bad. You ever been there? I've talked about this. See, what the gospel does is it removes that and tears it off your neck, your shoulders, your life. The bondage, it says, you are now, because of the gospel, you are now righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, it takes that balance. It's like, if I can do more good than I do evil, then when I die, then I can stand before the big guys, some people will say, and I can say, here's the balances. See how good I've done? But we know the Word of God says that our righteousness as of filthy rags. See, there is no balances before God. If there could be a balance, if you could stand before him and say, okay, God, I've did more good things. Look at the deeds I've done. Then the Christ, we wouldn't need the gospel. We could just live under an old covenant. We could have a law under ourselves. We would determine what's right or wrong. But what the gospel says is that all are born under sin. All are born lacking in the balances like this. Sin be on this side. Your righteousness. And the only way that can be destroyed and removed is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then that yoke is removed. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's what the gospel does. It removes those balancing scales. Then, you know, those things where we can't take pride in ourselves anymore. Or we can't look at it and have a list of do's and don'ts of have we made it? Have we done enough where God will be pleased? I'm so grateful that by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, asking him to wash my sins away, that he removes that yoke, he tears that, balances, he moves it away, and he says, I am your righteousness. That's what the gospel does. Did you know that the gospel is enough? The gospel is enough. Lord Jesus, we thank you in this day and this hour as we're talking about Gen Z. If there's any generation that needs to see that the gospel is enough, it is our young people. And I believe, amen, that God is going to move in this generation, not as we wait, but as we go out, what? Go out declaring the gospel. Declaring the gospel. Not waiting for somebody to come and hear the gospel. But when you have good news, remember they used to be on the corner, they had those newspaper, and if it was good, they said, I got good news today, amen? Good news, read all about it. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, amen. It's the simple, amen. And then to number two, so number one being the simplicity of the gospel to those who the gospel is to those who give their life to him. To give their life to him. Mark 8, 34 through 35. And I love the Passion Translation here. It says Mark 8, 34 and 35. Jesus had his disciples and the crowd gather around him. And he said to them, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely disown your own life. What does that mean? You know, I used to think, well, I guess I can't golf anymore. And I can't bowl. I'm a terrible bowler, but I can't bowl anymore. And so I used to have some crazy ideas of what this meant. I still like to bowl every once in a while. And usually when I bowl, I'm pretty good. I bowl over 100. Amen. What it means, let me continue before I say it. It says, disown your own life, and you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, there's that word, you will continually experience true life. But if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. Man, we've been talking about that forfeiting means trying to keep your own life, saying, I know what to do here. I don't need that foolishness. I don't believe in the gospel. I believe I'll stand before him and I can, you know, state my case. Or maybe you can be here and say, I don't even believe in God or whatever. But let me tell you that God made you for a purpose. Let me believe that there is coming a day that it says that all the world will be gathered to him. Those who are giving their lives to Christ unto eternal life, the gospel. Those who have shunned Christ go to eternal darkness known as hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. See, it's your choice about this gospel. And my prayer is that everybody in this room, that they'd realize that Jesus paid the price for you. He paid the price of sin and death. There might be things that have happened in your life that you don't quite understand, but I'm telling you that if you'll give your life fully to him, man, you may never quite understand, but I'm telling you, he'll fill that inner void, do a mighty work, and you'll trust him, and he'll heal every, did you hear that? Every area of your heart. Not some of them, not a portion of them, but the gospel, if you're willing, will heal every area of your life. Does it happen overnight? No. Does it happen over a weekend? Will it happen in one marriage conference? No. Will it happen in one Holy Spirit-filled, powerful meeting? No. But over time, God begins to reveal himself to you, who he is, what he accomplished for you, and he begins to do a mighty work in a person's heart. As they walk with him, the things of the past become more and more distant. Pretty soon, there'll be a time when you walk with him, you'll turn around, you'll say, I don't even remember that myself. We know he doesn't remember it from the beginning, but you'll walk from that, and the things from the past you'll look at and say, I don't even remember being that person. I don't remember even carrying that yoke. I don't remember even being bound by fear because Jesus broke it off of my life. That's why I love to say that. I heard this as, hey, you know, the rearview mirror is very small and the windshield is very large. If you spend much time looking in the rearview mirror, you'll wreck. But if you'll keep focused ahead of you Amen. God's goodness, God's grace, His strength, His ability, His power in you. Amen. You can glance in the rearview mirror. Amen. That's just a reminder what He brought you out of. And did you notice as you go further in a car and further, you look in that rearview mirror, at some point you don't even see an object that you could see earlier. It becomes a distance past. Let me tell you, there's nothing that anybody has gone through that God cannot, when we trust Him, make a distant past. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that's all accomplished? Let me say this. In the gospel. May I say again this morning, I don't know if I had a chance to say it yet, but the gospel is enough, isn't it? The gospel is enough. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may our hearts be stirred afresh and anew for the gospel. Lord, we know that Satan has tried to make the gospel where we're even, maybe can be even embarrassed to mention it. Or somehow, where did we get to where the gospel, we talk about the gospel, but they think that it's not enough. Let me say it again, that the gospel is more than enough to change a person's life. Amen. To those who give their life to Him. When you fail, keep coming back to Him. Can I say that? When you fail, just keep coming back. He didn't leave you, forsake you. He's still there. Just keep moving forward in Him. The gospel is that powerful. We need to understand afresh and new how powerful this message is. You know, I'll hear things that people in Congress or the House and talk about how this book of the Bible is a fairy tale. And that it just condemns people. That's not true. It tells you what's right or wrong. Amen. It tells you what God is holy and perfect, and He made a way for you and I through the gospel to become holy and perfect like Him. There's only one way to become holy and perfect, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a book of condemnation. John 3 says this, that those that don't believe are already condemned. But when you hear the gospel and you say, Lord, something in your heart says, could that much? I remember when I really heard the gospel of grace, my heart said this, that's too good to be true. The gospel, that's what it means basically, is it's too good to be true news. Let me say, the news of the gospel, if you're downtrodden or beaten down today, that news seems too good to be true, but it is the answer. It is the answer. Thank you, Jesus, for the answer. Thank you, Jesus, for the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care what anybody, I don't care if they call themselves a president. I don't care if they call themselves a CEO. I don't care if they're in Congress or the Senate. If they're saying that the Bible is nothing but fairy tales, that is the lie of Satan in Jesus' name, because the founding fathers didn't believe it. The first Congresses in this country didn't mean it. They had a day of prayer. They had a day of prayer and fasting, of humbling themselves. Amen. They believed in that scripture says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Hallelujah. That still is for today. How powerful. I always love this story and told it to my son Devin, who tells it to people at his church now. But our founding pastor, Pastor Lee, he was raised in Central America, and he'd take missions trip. But I always remember the story. He says he took like 5 trips to Cuba, which is kind of dangerous, so he quit going finally. But because he would take Bibles and different things to Cuba, and it was a big no-no. But he says he was on the streets, I don't know where in Cuba, and there was a couple prostitutes who had never heard anything about the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. They didn't know anything about it. So he began to tell them the gospel from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And he said, as he began to speak it said in his own ears, it sounded foolish. You know, you're talking to somebody, you're talking in a dark area. He said, even in his own ear, it sounded like he was telling some kind of fairy tale. Adam and Eve, the fall of mankind, Moses, the law, the children of Israel, and then there's this baby that was born of a virgin. And because of where he's at, he said, it just sounds so foolish in his own ears. But knowing the truth, he just continued to give this message of the gospel. And it said by the time he was done, these two prostitutes were just bawling, gave their lives to Jesus Christ, and then they take him home to their husbands. They're prostitutes, but they're married, but because of how poor they were and because of where they were at, they were in prostitution just to be able to feed their families. He goes to the families and then leads their husbands to Jesus Christ. What did that? It wasn't a magic trick. It wasn't no tricky words. It wasn't no begging. It was the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ as he began to declare what Jesus did for them, even right where they were at in sin and what they were doing. And they began to hear a story that they'd never heard before. And the Holy Spirit penetrated their heart as they wept and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. You've got to tell our husbands. Come home and tell their husbands. And they give their lives to Jesus Christ. Living in the depths of sin, depravity, never having heard the Bible before. He's telling this story, and he says, man, it sounds like a fairy tale to me in my ears because of where I'm at. But he kept going, and the gospel changed their lives. When we tell people about Christ's love, you know, I've learned another thing that Pastor Lee used to say here is don't explain, just proclaim. Let the Holy Spirit explain it to them. I mean, there's a time where you teach them and we have things and you know, obviously building people up in their faith with the Word of God. But boy, even when we're ministering and teaching people, if we're not careful, we can start making it complex. We can start feeling like we need to make it really hard. We can start feeling like making it, like without realizing it, that we need to really put the wisdom of man in there and what psychology would say about this. And I know there's a place for that if it comes to Jesus. And what is this and what is that? But let me tell you that the power of God through the gospel, the simplicity of it still changes a life. Is it still changing your life, the gospel? Is the Lord still speaking to your heart? Or have you allowed yourself to come under some yokes again? A yoke of discouragement, a yoke of fear, a yoke that he doesn't heal the sick anymore, a yoke that he doesn't take care of his people financially. Have you allowed yourself to come under, we don't realize, come under the wisdom of the world? You got to do this and do that and jump through hoops. Anything where you got to start jumping through hoops and it's not based on simple faith, I'm telling you, we're getting away from the gospel. Amen, Jesus. So let me, a few more minutes here. I'm gonna stop at what is the gospel? Number three, what is the gospel? This is Paul in Romans 1, 14 through 17. He says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians. So if you're a barbarian, you're in the perfect place. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He says, it's funny, he says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. And then he writes this long letter and sends it to him, which is the gospel. And so he says, I'm eager to come to you, which he did. Amen. He ended up going to Rome. He says, I want to preach what? He wanted to preach the gospel of grace to them. And then verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Man, Lord, let us afresh and anew not be ashamed of the gospel. But Peter said, hey, be ready. He says, be ready anytime to give explanation of what God's done for you. It could be, you know, it depends. The Lord will open those doors. Amen? The Lord will give you an opportunity. Man, there is a day and age. I believe we're in a day and age where the gospel is being alive unto the first. It has to be alive to his people, fresh and anew. If we think the gospel is full, there's a part of us because of this world, because the world system that gets in our heart and we don't realize it, then we don't realize, without realizing it, we're thinking, yeah, they're not going to hear that. We don't realize that what we're saying in our own minds and our hearts is, yeah, the gospel's kind of foolish. Yeah. The power of God is what it is. It's very foolish to those, to many. What did Paul say? It's foolish to many. But to those that are looking for an answer, they come to the end of themselves. Many that came to Jesus while he was walking on the earth. had come to the end of themselves. Remember the woman with the issue of blood, spent everything she had on doctors, and she says about this man, Jesus, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, my bleeding will stop. Jesus didn't even pray for her. She reached out and touched Jesus' garment, and she was instantly healed from that issue of blood. Isn't that foolishness? Somebody claiming to be the Son of God, somebody preaching, looks like the average Joe, but somehow that foolishness in our hearts says, if I just touches him, I'll be healed. Father, may we be such people that we'd be so foolish to touch the hem of his garment. Oh, that we'd be so childlike, amen, that once again we realize out there about wherever we are that the gospel is the answer to everything that woes this world. Amen, amen, and amen. Gospel means good news. Declare good tidings. As the piano player comes. I'm not going to go much further. There were some things I wanted to get to, but I won't this week. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Give me just two more minutes. Two more minutes. This is John the Apostle, 1 John 2, 1. He says, my little children, I am writing these things to you. So is he writing these things to you this morning? My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Miss the mark. He says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Man, he shed his blood for the whole world. You know, I love this word propitiation. You don't really hear it outside the Bible. What it is, propitiation, is it's the turning away of the wrath of God by the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Did you know when it was God's ideal that Jesus be on the cross? I used to have this ideal that God, Jesus was saying, oh God, don't judge him. Just hold back. I'll die for him. Hold back your wrath. No, that wasn't how it was at all. It was God's good pleasure to have his perfect son, his most prized possession, to come down from heaven, to hang on a cross, to have nails put through his hands and his feet, took a beating, took that was whipped with a cat tail. They had glass and metal, and they would put it against his back, and it would just rip open his back. And it says in Isaiah 53 and in 1 Peter 2 that he was whipped for our transgressions. And then it was said, by his stripes we were healed. See, the simplicity of the gospel is he became the final sacrifice, the last sacrifice needed for sin. Amen. The propitiation means that God willingly put his son, had his son die on the cross. How do we know? Because Jesus said, man, if there's any other way, God, but what do I have to go through? He says, nevertheless, not my will. What did Jesus say? Not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I don't really want to go through this beating. Lord, I really don't want to have the sins of the world. I don't want to become sin for mankind in his own self. But he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. See, all the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ against sin, against disease, against sickness, against poverty, against depression, against cancer, amen, against loneliness, against everything that would ail you. Jesus paid the price. The gospel means everything. The gospel is enough. Can you stand up with me? Father, we thank you for the gospel. I was talking to my son. He went to some meeting. I think it was a bunch of youth. I don't know. Youth, young people, maybe some older people. But he said that they were worshiping the Lord. This was just recently in Phoenix. I don't know where. I don't know what church it was. I saw. But he says they were just worshiping the Lord. He says as this guy who they don't even know who I don't even know who the guy was, but as he preached the gospel, people were getting healed by the hundreds and coming forward.
Amen.
Just as he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, such a hunger, people throwing away their crutches, people running around that were healed as this gentleman, I don't even know, just preached the gospel. Man, God began to heal people. That is the power of the gospel. Father, thank you for moving afresh and anew in our midst. Amen. And so what it takes is saying, Lord, I've come to realize my life that there's an area, like if you're in depression, I don't care if it's clinical depression. Doesn't matter what it is. Amen. Jesus can set you free from it. That's what the gospel does. And it's like this. What happens is sometimes we, as human beings, as people, especially if you're the household of God, know Him, as you say, Lord, I'm done with this. I've spent 12 years trying to get rid of this depression. Lord, I've spent this time trying to overcome this. And I think it comes to a time where something in our minds connects with the gospel by faith and say, Lord, I'm tired of that. Set me free. I remember many of the times where I remember one time I was so discouraged one time and I didn't know why. But I was just discouraged. I felt like I didn't measure up. I was trying to fast. I was trying to pray and do all these things that I wasn't very good at. And then all of a sudden, I remember I was in my living room, and I just sensed something in the corner. It was a spirit. It was a spirit. I couldn't see it, but I could sense it, and the Lord allowed me to sense that. And right then, I said, Lord, I rebuke this in Jesus' name. I command you to go, and I could feel that thing just move away from my house. And that living room where all that time, a lying spirit bringing discouragement against me, and the Lord allowed me to see this. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's the enemy. It's the unseen world. Remember this, everything that you can see is temporal. Everything you can't see is eternal, your spirit man. And so what I began to do is I just rebuked that thing, and I said, you must go. And that's what, as children of God, that's the capability of not just a pastor, but from the person from the front to the very back, if they know Jesus Christ, if they understand their authority, if they understand what's coming against them, they can realize that they can rebuke that thing and command it to go in Jesus' name. He has given you that ability. He's given you that power because the Holy Spirit lives in you, no different than the Holy Spirit that lives in me. And so what we do is we take things like discouragement. If you have discouragement, as you lift your hands like that, you say, Lord, thank you, Father, for breaking that discouragement off my life. Thank you for, Father, breaking that foul spirit of discouragement off my life. I command it to go in Jesus' name, Father God. Lord, I realize this is an attack of the enemy, Lord. I'll never measure up to myself. And so I command this spirit of discouragement to go in Jesus' name. You have no place in my home. You have no place in my mind. You have no place in my body. So I tell you to go in Jesus' name. And you speak life over yourself. You speak life over yourself. Lord, you said you're the Prince of Peace. You said you would give me peace. You said I would walk in peace. And you begin to declare that over your life and say, Lord, that discouragement must go. And with depression we come against that. Father, thank you for breaking, Father, depression off your people's lives, Father God. Doesn't matter how it came or when it came. Father, we repent for entertaining that or thinking that you cannot break that. And we thank you for breaking that thing in Jesus' name. And we speak life, Father God, in Jesus' name. We speak liberty to your people. We speak strength to your people. Lord, we speak joy to your people. Because your word says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So, Father, we thank you for joy. Lord, we thank you for your peace in our lives. We thank you for opening our eyes afresh and anew. Lord, may we know your grace and your mercy brand new. Your mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. And, Father, we're tired of putting up with these things from the enemy as he lies to us, not realizing that the answer is simply found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your gospel. Lord, we thank you for your power. Lord, help us to humble. You know, the key is humbleness, humility. God opposes the proud. What's the proud thing? I don't need that. I got it all figured out. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, saying, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I don't want to have a facade like I got it all together. Lord, I need your help. I need your strength in this area of my life. Lord can show you things that maybe you're involved in that he says, don't, it's time to put it away. See, it's his grace that gives you the strength to put it away. And you say, Lord, I identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection with Christ, that your Holy Spirit lives in me. Lord, that you've made me more than a conqueror. Lord, you haven't, like I like to say, he hasn't called us to cope. He's called us to conquer. Father, we thank you for a season of not coping but conquering. We thank you for conquering through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, through the truth of the Word of God. We thank you for victory, Lord. We just give our life to you. Lord, we lay it down. Those areas, we lay it down. And we finally say, Lord, I had enough of that. Had enough of that. It's not bringing any strength or joy. It's actually, it could be tearing your world apart. Lord, I lay that down. And I receive all your forgiveness. I receive your righteousness. I receive your strength and your peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
When we dismiss. If you need prayer, would you come up? We'd love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come forward? We'd love to introduce to you your Lord and Savior, the one true God, he who made heaven and earth, he who made you and loves you. He loves you. He wants to draw you close to him. If you need salvation, if you need prayer for anything, would you come forward?
Thank you.
We'd love to pray with you. With that, would you go with the anointing that you
really
have?
I just really feel, though, real quick. I feel there's some of you that really want to come forward. I think there's an atmosphere of prayer and worship. I want you to come forward if you want prayer. I just feel like there's some of you still struggling. I want you to lay those things down as we heard this message this morning. Come forward, get prayer. Just lay it all down. Depression, whatever you're struggling with. Amen. The Lord wants to touch you.
Amen.